Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to talk today about light bulbs and about John Kerry and his primary defender against the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
But you mean dim bulbs?
Dim bulbs.
Light bulbs?
The federally mandated.
You said John Kerry.
The federally mandated light bulbs.
Just go right over your head.
That
Bob?
Have mercury in them. That I am just so upset about. But in studio, we have Greg Jackson. He's the author of the best-selling Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies and the upcoming book, Exposing the Religious Right, We Won't Be Fooled Again.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be a good book.
That I co-wrote, in all fairness, with Steve Dace, who we'll be hearing next week.
Next week on Thursday, you and I will interview Steve about his brand new radio show, syndicated radio show. He goes from being the number one talker in Iowa to now on a number of the Salem radio stations and their satellite feed. This could be big.
SteveDace.com. You got to check out some of his podcasts.
Yeah.
DEACE. SteveDace.com.
Yeah. So
he's going to dwarf any ratings that any of the Salem radio show hosts, I believe, have ever even come close
to. Well, he's already done it for years in Iowa. For example, he was up against Sean Hannity, who was on a 50,000-watt station.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve would double.
Triple, 3-1.
Even triple Sean Hannity's ratings. And it was the highest-rated show in the history of Iowa, afternoon drive time, and the highest-revenue-producing show.
And you know what it proved? It proved, Bob, that by and large, people are tired of Republican good, Democrat bad, Republican talking points radio. And Steve was the first one to bring up to the airwaves a distinctly biblical worldview and mix it into politics and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an enormous success in Iowa, and I predict that he's going to rival Hannity, Limbaugh, Beck, all of the big names.
Wow.
I really do. Don't you?
And
I mean,
what,
you know Steve.
And what a breath of fresh air for the biblical worldview and for the personhood fight. It's just so exciting.
And he's on the Truth Radio Network, and you never know. We might need surround sound on that network, and who knows?
Maybe Greg Jackson and Doug McBurney might be on there soon.
You never know.
Hey, Greg, one of the things I've wanted to do recently on the air, I got upset at some conservative talk show hosts because they were blaming Barack Obama for the CFL light bulbs, the compact fluorescent light bulbs,
mm-hmm.
which have mercury in them.
The ones that shatter, you got to call the fire department to clean it up?
Yeah. Well, they're blaming the Obama administration for taking our bulbs. So I went back and just, you know, of course, just looked up the bill. And I have my own name for the bill. It's the 2007.
Hey, that's more than probably most of the legislators who voted for it, dude.
At least I looked it up. And I call it the 2007 Light Bulb Confiscation Act. And Barack Obama was not president in 2007. This was signed by George W. Bush. It enrages me because of just the grotesqueness of what happened with this saga. Do you know, you might not realize
You're not surprised
this.
That Bush did that, are you?
No, not at all. But I'm angry that conservatives give him a pass, and they blame the Democrats. For example, all the pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, anti-Christian judges on federal benches that Bush put in office and his father, and they blame it on Clinton and Obama.
Well, it's because so many people need to disabuse themselves of the notion that Republicans are good and Democrats are bad.
That's not the issue, right? Ann Coulter thinks that's the issue.
Republican good, Democrat bad.
Right. And it's not. It's right versus wrong. If Ann Coulter knew it was right versus wrong, I mentioned her. You were a friend of hers for a while.
I don't think I'm going to be when the book comes out.
No. Yeah, and it's a great book. I've read parts of the book.
Well, there are personal emails in there that we're going to be divulging.
Yeah.
That need to be divulged, frankly.
Yeah. Well, now she's out of the closet, right? She's an official on the advisory board for Go Proud.
That's right.
A homosexual activist group.
She's on the board of directors.
So she's out of the closet.
Out of the closet.
Yeah. So can we get back to the light bulbs?
Let's do that. I'm sorry.
All right. You might not recall this. Now, you're up on the news.
Back to the dim bulbs.
Yes.
I try to be.
You're up on the news, but do you know 2 years before Bush signed the law that now basically is virtually mandating these mercury vapor bulbs in our homes and offices all over the country? Because right. little by little, they're phasing out our favored incandescent bulbs.
To save energy, because we're, of course, the culprits in terms
yeah,
of
we're bad.
Heating
America's
up the
bad.
Earth with
right.
our
right.
20-watt reading lamps.
Right, because we have lighted homes and streets, and we're not dark from satellite like North Korea is dark.
Pretty soon we're going to have candles and rickshaws.
Yeah, but here's what happened 2 years before Bush signed this law, basically mandating these mercury vapor light bulbs. He signed a law banning mercury vapor light bulbs in streetlights nationwide. You know why? To protect the environment, because they have mercury in them. And if they break, mercury is bad for plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew enough to ban this technology in streetlights. And then 2 years later, Bush signs a law, which I call
very bad.
Yeah.
Not good, bad.
I call this the George W. Bush Light Bulb Confiscation Act. And 2 years later, he signs a law that mandates that we use compact fluorescent lighting in U.S. homes. And in fact, California has already banned the 100-watt incandescent bulb, and that's going to happen nationwide.
Who monitors that? Like, do they have like a separate, I don't know, security force that checks and knocks on your door, or, you know, sir, I need to take a look at your lamps
yeah.
in the house. Well, I'm not decent. Well, it's too bad. We're official regulatory agency of the light bulb, incandescent
yeah,
light bulb.
We're
going to
have smugglers in federal prison
right.
for smuggling light bulbs into the city and county of Denver.
Meanwhile,
we allow
4,000 babies a day to be murdered and illegals to flood our borders.
By Planned Parenthood.
But we got to make sure that you have the proper light bulbs.
Yeah. So
makes sense.
I'm on the U.S. government's website, the EPA's website. This is EPA.gov.
Mm-hmm.
You can't,
very official.
You can't get more government than this. And this is their instructions for cleaning up a broken bulb. What to do to clean up if one of these bulbs break.
And which they can do.
They do
break a bulb, like changing it.
We have seven boys, Greg. We have seven boys at our home, and we've had one of these break already.
So what did they have to do? Did they have to go on the U.S.gov website to clean it up? How did they do it?
Well, this was us.
It's like an emergency in the Enyard home.
This was me, right.
You, alone, without
show? So here's what I want to know.
Yes.
We're at this official government website for how to clean up a broken CFL.
Yes.
Do you want to hear the short version of the instructions or the long versions, because they have both?
We're
on the air.
I think the short will do.
All right.
I think that'll be broad enough for our listeners.
We're not going to look at the detailed.
Yeah, it's only a half hour show.
Right.
It's only a half hour show.
Right. Okay. Here's what happens when one of those curly light bulbs break. Before you clean up, the bulb is just broken.
Ben Franklin's rolling in his grave.
In your office, in your home, in a school classroom.
Didn't Ben Franklin invent the light bulb? No.
No.
Edison.
It was Thomas Edison.
Yeah, but electricity was
electricity.
Franklin.
He flew the kite, which was really
Franklin
stupid.
Franklin was really the progenitor of the light bulb in many ways.
He had a high IQ, but it was stupid to fly a kite during a lightning storm.
Wasn't very smart.
He could have died.
Yeah.
But, all right. First, once the light bulb breaks, first thing, have people and pets leave the room.
Okay.
So if it's your office,
you go into your bedroom or whatever the
you
next
leave the room
is.
You air out the room for 5 to 10 minutes by opening a window or door to the environment.
What if it's winter time?
What if it's winter? What
like
if it's
really
115
cold.
Degrees out in Phoenix?
And you got the AC running.
Well,
that's not very efficient.
You're not going to have the AC running for long. Here's why. The next step, shut off the central air condition or central heating. So you gotta turn off your central air or central heating. And what if we're in a radio studio right now? What if you're in the radio studio and a light bulb breaks? You gotta leave the office,
right.
Vacate. You gotta open windows and doors to the outside. A lot of places you can't do that. You gotta turn off the air, the heat.
Maybe we should do the show by candlelight from now on, or like nightlights.
Well, it'd be a lot safer than using these CFLs. Now, you see the list of steps, right?
Long. Trust me, folks. This is
before cleanup.
Yeah.
We're up to the before
it's
cleanup.
It's like instructions for anything that you'd buy from IKEA.
Right.
About 100 right. steps.
Has your wife been to the
she
new
has,
IKEA?
And she's putting together a
so
desk.
So has Cheryl.
A desk for my six-year-old
oh.
and a bookshelf. And she's been working. I keep telling her, don't buy stuff from IKEA.
It's beautiful quality stuff.
But you got to put the stuff together.
And it's inexpensive.
It's inexpensive, and that's why it's so popular.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you better have some spare time to put the stuff together because there's a lot of steps. I mean, when they talk about the reason yeah. why the nice furniture is so cheap, it's because, well, none of it's put together. Mm. You're basically on
well,
the production
that's why
line.
Cheryl wants to get a refrigerator.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, honey, do you know that you have to be able to assemble? You need to get certification in refrigeration.
Caveat emptor.
No, but IKEA, it seems like a fabulous store. But, okay, so you get all people and pets out of the room.
All people and pets. Pull the fire alarm?
No.
Nope, you don't have to do that.
You air out the room for 5 to 10 minutes by opening a window or door to the outside, not to a hallway.
Sure.
Then you shut off the central air or central heating, assuming you
have
that.
So far, it's not sounding too environmentally friendly.
The next step is you collect materials needed to clean up the broken light bulb, and here's what you have to collect. Stiff paper or cardboard.
Stiff paper.
Sticky tape. Damp paper towels or disposable wet wipes. And a glass jar with a metal lid or a sealable plastic bag.
I'm sure all of our listeners have those in their homes in like a little kit.
We have that right now here.
Hey, maybe we should sell kits with
the,
all this.
In the
and
BL.
We could just, seriously, that's
yeah.
not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, we at Bob and Yurt Live, we used to sell Y2K survival kits. Did you know that? That was before you used to hear the show.
Oh, no, but I was.
Let me tell you.
You guys sold Y2K survival
kits?
Let
me tell you, for $499,
wow.
we sold, it was for your home's electrical system, right at midnight on December 31st.
1999.
Yep. It automatically shut off the power to your home.
Wow.
So that your wife didn't think you're a lunatic. So that was our Y2K survival kit. It made your wife think there was really
so
a good reason for you to be a lunatic
like
for a year and a half.
I like that.
And for another $400,
worth the $499 just to be right.
Right. And for another $400, it would also turn off the water to your home.
I'd pay twice that to be right in
that
my
was
home.
Our Y2K survival. So we can sell a CFL survival kit.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you got
Russ is nodding his head. He's stealing our idea.
You got your glass jar and your metal lid, right? So
glass
now,
jar, metal lid, yeah.
As you start to pick up the broken pieces of glass and the powder, you have to be very thorough. You pick up everything. You use the tape to pick up the dust because, remember, it has mercury vapor in it.
Very environmentally friendly.
Which is extremely dangerous, especially
sure.
to children, pregnant women. I mean, it's just extremely hazardous. So you place the cleanup materials in a sealable container. Now, this is the short form.
That's
right?
The short version.
And we're not done, but this
no.
is the short form. But, Greg, what they don't tell you is you're not allowed to put that out with the trash. You need a special hazardous waste pickup because this is mercury vapor.
Like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Right? The guys in the suits, and they come and they dispose of it.
Right.
Pick it up and...
So what they say is then you promptly place all debris in your sealable glass jar with a metal lid. You promptly place all of that in an outdoor trash container until the materials can be disposed of properly. This is the short form, so they don't tell you how to do that. And now, if practical, continue to air out the room where the bulb was broken and leave the heating or the air conditioning system shut off for several hours.
Do you think some of our listeners have driven off the road?
This is the short list of instructions on what to do. And we've sold now 400 million of these bulbs into homes all over the country because of the George W. Bush.
They give really bad light, too. It's like ugly looking
light. It's ugly. It's a different spectrum.
You drive by a house and you see that incandescent light. You're like, how do you live that way?
You can't have a romantic dinner at a nice restaurant with your wife under one of these blue bulbs.
Well, if you don't have these bulbs, the Obama agency, whatever it's called, they're going to be
after you. Can't appreciate art in an art gallery with these bulbs.
Well, Bob, you're going to have to learn how to. Okay,
this is a different part of the spectrum. Listen to Real Science Friday.
Change.
I mean, so here's what they say. Now,
yes.
Before you change a bulb. So this is not a broken bulb. This is any bulb, and you're going to change it?
Yes.
Get a tarp and put a tarp down beneath the bulb because it might break.
I don't even know if we have a tarp. Do you?
You have to get one.
You got to buy one.
And when they talk about the energy savings, they don't include driving to Home Depot for a tarp.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And then you have to throw the tarp out, by the way. So buy an inexpensive tarp.
Look at
tarp.
The waste. I mean, the...
Yeah, and it goes on and on. And then they say, you know what? On second thought, don't use these bulbs wherever kids are playing. Don't use them. And they give a whole list. Don't use them in lamps that are on tables and lamps that stand on the floor. Don't use them here. Don't use them there. So it's like the Bush Light Bulb Confiscation Act is taking our 100-watt bulbs, filling our homes with these mercury vapor dangerous bulbs, and then they're saying, by the way, you can't use these if you have kids around.
So what's the significance of all of this?
Insanity.
Well, it's insanity, but I thought Bush and, eight years of Bush, he could do no wrong.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Bush greased the skids on which America is descending into hell. Bush greased the skids.
Do you think, Bob, that in many ways having a Republican in the White House who's portrayed as a conservative
is
more dangerous than having somebody like Obama who at least is a wolf in wolf's clothing?
It's more dangerous. Absolutely. Like, for example,
Maybe this Rick Perry guy.
Like Rick Perry. Conservatives say, well, we vote for the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. Well, that might mean that you got to vote for Barack Obama. They would vote for Barack Obama
if they were faithful to that view. Right, the lesser of two evils.
Well, if you have a fraud like, say, Mitt Romney or Rick Perry from Texas, you've got a fraud who basically is pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-sexual immorality with young women, and he leads Christians astray and puts them asleep thinking that there's a godly man in the White House.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, the wolf in sheep's clothing is always more dangerous to the flock than the wolf in wolf's clothing.
Absolutely. That's what Jesus said. And he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold.
If you're
Rick Perry, I will spit you out of my mouth.
Did he say Rick Perry?
I got the NIV.
I think that's the Aramaic translation.
I thought it was just the NIV.
It could be.
I'm sorry.
It could
that
be.
That was the HIV.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig.
All right, back to the dim bulbs.
Okay, so...
No, but that is a good point. I mean, seriously, when you think about this and the insanity of all this, and then you think of how much time people spent defending George Bush and the whole administration, now do you think people are finally ready to come to the stark realization, as uncomfortable as it may be, Bob Enyart, that Republicans are essentially no different than Democrats? They're two wings of the same bird pushing straight ahead toward world government.
Did Bush not have a single advisor who could say, Mr. President, we just banned these bulbs 2 years ago because they were too dangerous with the mercury vapor, and you want to put them in the bedroom of every child in America? Mr. President, but you know what? He didn't have a single advisor like that because Bush didn't have wise men with godly wisdom around him. He had pro-homosexual, pro-abortion bureaucrats.
Well, we know that the head of the RNC, Ken Mellman, came out of the closet saying, I am gay.
Right.
Admitted that he single-handedly took down the marriage amendment. He was essentially the head of Bush's campaign, for all intents and purposes. Mm. And he's the one who admitted that he sidetracked the marriage amendment.
The federal marriage amendment. He came out of the closet. I'm a homosexual.
So we shouldn't be surprised that if this is who
it happens Bush, all the time. This is who Bush would surround himself with on purpose. Like from the beginning of his political career, he's radically pro-homosexual.
So how do we not repeat the same mistakes of voting for the R?
Don't
you got
vote.
An R near your name? I'm just going to vote for him. That's what Democrats do in Boston.
Here's
they vote D across right down the aisle.
Here's what you do. You don't worry about the outcome. You worry about knowing God and obeying him, and then the outcome will be far better than you could have ever hoped for back when you were worrying about the outcome.
Do you think if David would have worried about the outcome when he went up against Goliath,
he would have never
been able to accomplish if he had feared the boogeyman?
Every Bible story tells us don't look at it with pragmatism. Look at it with trust in God, because that's the only real pragmatism. Pragmatism is what works, and trusting God is the only thing that works, even in politics.
That's right. And so few of our elected representatives understand that, correct? Because not one of our presidential candidates, when I watch the Iowa straw poll.
How about John Kerry?
John Kerry, does he understand that?
Well, no, go ahead. The Iowa straw poll.
Well, real quickly, because we got to get to John Kerry here, because there's a very important story about John Kerry in the news today.
Well, there is. John Kerry, remember the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth?
Yes.
Attacked
he was swift boated.
Wonderfully. Because he's the traitor.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
Yeah, that was at the DNC, right?
That was
back in 2004.
How scripted was that? 2004.
Could that have
been more transparent?
You know the story of the guy who introduced him, right? You know what happened to this guy?
A little bit, yes.
Well, his name is Wade Sanders.
That's right.
And he was
a Silver Star.
He won a Silver Star. He was a Navy captain. He was a Swift Boat officer.
Big shot.
And so what a perfect counterbalance to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, who said, look, John Kerry is a fraud. He's not a war hero. He was a traitor to our men in arms.
Kerry said, I'll see your Swift Veterans for Truth and I'll raise you one.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that this guy who introduced Kerry at the Democratic National Convention is now in a federal prison. Now, do we have the audio of what? Could we try that? Let's try
probably convicted unfairly. Let's set the stage. This was 1971.
And we don't know that we could get this audio. We're trying something last minute. This idea just popped up.
Hey, it happens in talk radio, though.
Vietnam. We understand that.
Let's hear.
We know that you've considered the seriousness of the aspects to the utmost level, and I'm not going to try and deal on that.
But I want to relate to you the feeling which many of the men who've returned to this country express. Because we are probably angriest about all that we were told about Vietnam and about the mystical war against communism. We found that not only was it a civil war,
an effort by a people who had for years been seeking their liberation from any colonial influence whatsoever, but also we found that the Vietnamese whom we had enthusiastically molded after our own image were hard put to take up the fight against the threat we were supposedly saving them from. We found that most people didn't even know the difference between communism and democracy. They only wanted to work in rice paddies without helicopters strafing them and bombs with napalm burning their villages and tearing their country apart. They wanted everything to do with the war, particularly with this foreign presence of the United States of America, to leave them alone in peace. And they practiced the art of survival by siding with whichever military force was present at a particular time, be it Viet Cong, North Vietnamese, or American. We found also that all too often American men were dying in those rice paddies for want of support from their allies. We saw firsthand how monies from American taxes was used for a corrupt dictatorial regime. We saw that many people in this country had a one-sided idea of who was kept free by our flag, as blacks provided the highest percentage of casualties. We saw Vietnam ravaged equally by American bombs, as well as by search and destroy missions, as well as by Viet Cong terrorism. And yet we listened while this country tried to blame all of the havoc on the Viet Cong. We rationalized destroying villages in order to save them. We saw America lose her sense of morality as she accepted very coolly a My Lai and refuse to give up the image of American soldiers that hand out chocolate bars and chewing gum. We learnt the meaning of free fire zones, shoot anything that moves, and we watched while America placed a cheapness on the lives of Orientals. We watched the United States' falsification of body counts.
Stop the tape. We're going to fast forward, and we're going to play another moment of this. Everything he said so far has been shown to be false now with history. Let's play the second tab.
I'm wondering why when John Kerry talks, he talks
they
like he's British.
Personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads.
The accusations that John Kerry made against the veterans who served in Vietnam was just devastating.
Randomly shot at civilians.
And it hurt me more than any physical wounds I had.
Cut off limbs, blown up bodies.
That was part of the torture, was to sign a statement that you had committed war crimes.
Razed villages in fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan.
John Kerry gave the enemy for free what I and many of my comrades in North Vietnam in the prison camps took torture to avoid saying. It demoralized us.
Crimes committed on a day-to-day basis.
He betrayed us in the past. How could we be loyal to him now?
Ravaged the countryside of South Vietnam.
He dishonored his country and, more importantly, the people he served with. He just...
All right. So, Greg, the guy who defended John Kerry, who was a Swift Boat officer in Vietnam, Navy captain, mm-hmm. right now he's in federal prison. You know what he's in prison for?
Tax evasion?
No.
Oh, not having the right light bulbs?
No. He's in prison for child pornography for, 3 years, 3.5 years. And the Navy has stripped him of his Silver Star. Mm-hmm. And this is really interesting. That has nothing to do with his arrest for child pornography. Totally separate grounds. His Silver Star was awarded to him fraudulently. So here's John Kerry, a traitor to our nation, putting our men in harm's way. The Bible says your sin will find you out. The truth eventually comes out. Ultimately, we'll all stand before God.
That's right.
So these crimes against the innocent, saying it's a mystical war against communism. I mean, the communists have slaughtered tens of millions of people, denying them freedom of speech, travel, freedom of religion, and the liberals somehow found a way to defend and make light of communism around the world.
Like my mom always used to tell me, you better tell the truth, because the truth always comes out in the end.
The truth always comes out.
Make it easier on yourself.
Thank you, Greg Jackson. Hey, Greg, September 17th, Colorado Right to Life's banquet. It's going to be Alan Keyes, Tom Tancredo, and Kevin Swanson. Any chance you could be there?
I'm going to try my best.
All right. Can't wait. See you guys there, too.